Well, this is different for me. Our pastor, when he left, said, I might be back, but if I'm not, here's a sermon. So if you're visiting, I'm not the pastor, okay? And we didn't announce this ahead of time because there'd be less people here than there are now. But the fact is a little bit different, a little bit standing up in front of people. Not that I'm not used to that. But it's a little bit different way up here, so I move around a little bit. You'll understand. This is a series, a Christmas series, or number four, The Stars of Christmas. You know, we've all been probably watched church production of the Nativity, the Christmas. In fact, if you come tonight, you can see we do have a manger. We don't have to elaborate all the things that normally go into it, but we do have a church production, and we have people that are playing the characters of Christmas. We had those when I was in school. Even when I was teaching through all my teaching career at times, we would have somewhat, you know, even though everybody says you can't do this, you can't do that, some people would bring the fact that there were angels, the fact that there were shepherds, the fact that there were wise men, the fact of this. If we look at the picture on the screen, we can see in that picture, we can see the pictures of the Mary and Joseph and the baby. I mean, they're silhouetted. We can always pick out, well, those are the wise men over there on the left, and on the right is the shepherds, and in the background's Bethlehem, and, oh, there's a star. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that happen in the Christmas story. There's a lot of different parts, and maybe these are the major parts that we're looking at right now. There are major roles, and there are other crowd scenes that are less important roles. Yet each one of them is vital in telling the story of Christmas. Each one is important. Today we're going to look at the cast, or the stars, not the star, but the stars of Christmas. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our precious Heavenly Father, we just ask you to be with us now as we look at this. And Lord, we can put ourselves in many times in the place of being a role of a Christmas time, what we would have done. Or maybe being, if we were the shepherds, or we were major parts of the Christmas story, or just the minor parts. We hear Christmas carols like the little drummer boy. We don't know if there was a little drummer boy or not. That's time it became a tradition. But the fact that people were there. There were people there that were never mentioned in the Bible. There are many people around, many good people. Many people had slanderous things to say. Many people had nothing to say. Many people would probably question this and wondered about that. And yet we're going to look at some different things today. I pray that, Lord, you'd help me to be able to do this the way our pastor would want me to do it. Bring out the points he'd want me to bring out. And do it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at the stars of Christmas. And hopefully this works here. The first one to fill in your bulletin is the shepherds. Now, I did this a little different because, obviously, I've always, when I do this, I think of Billy Sue. Because I have this thing with all these colors in here. They always look good on your computer screen. And so there was lights and dark. So I'm going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And when you look at that, it says, and there were the shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, the shepherds were important in this story. The shepherds were very important. But we really have to ask ourselves the question, why did God appear to lowly shepherds? We've heard this many times, probably in other sermons at times, but The fact is, why did he appear to lowly shepherds? God appears to lowly shepherds first. The angels come and announce that to them. In today's age, we look at probably, why didn't he show up to the political leaders? My thought, and the pastor didn't even write this down in the notes here, my thoughts was, why didn't he show up to the religious leaders? You know, why didn't he go to the head of the Sanhedrin? Why didn't he go to them and talk to them? Maybe that would have changed the outcome in the long run. Maybe that would have changed it and said, well, wait, you know, God, maybe that's what got him mad in the first place. God, he goes to lowly shepherds, he didn't even come to us. Certainly God wouldn't talk to them when he talked to us. We have the robes, we have the buildings, we have the money, the power. Why didn't he come to us? The political leaders would be in the same, you know, who is this? When Herod heard about it, what was his reaction? I want to find out and praise him, but deep down he said, find out who this is and get rid of him. He could have went to the royalty or the wealthy. He could have at least went to the upper class people. People who could make a difference, so to speak. Because let's face it, when, I'm not even sure what his name, who's the guy who was here? Who's the guy from England and his wife? The prince, or whatever his name is, next. Prince William, okay? Prince William didn't show up at my house. Okay, how many, he showed up at yours? Oh, I thought you were going to raise your hand. He showed up here, okay. Okay, so you can't move. I'm a teacher. I know when this goes up, I'm going to pick on you. So, Prince William showed up. He got to go to a Knicks game. I don't know how he got tickets. But anyway, you know, he probably sat in the front row. Maybe not, maybe the box seats. He was given the first class treatment. He didn't come to just show up. He's a royalty, so to speak. And we know God's no respecter of persons, so royalty doesn't mean a lot to me, and it probably doesn't mean a lot to you either. But the fact is, it would be, if he did show up at my house, I'd be kind of shocked. Okay? But the fact is that you know, there's a lot of people out there just fell over backwards to help Prince William and his wife and Kate, or whatever, okay, and their baby. And they thought this is a great honor. The upper class. But he appeared to these shepherds. And we think about this. Why did he appear? God wanted us to know that his son would be a great shepherd. He was the great shepherd. And that he would die for, and the key is right there, every man. God didn't die for just those that think they're in a position of authority, particularly royalty. I've known some people, I don't know, maybe you know, do you ever have somebody you work with and worked right alongside you, and then they became in a management or a boss and they totally changed? You don't have to shake your heads or give me any names. And it happens in every level. I don't care where you're at. It might be a factory worker. It might be, you know, my father-in-law was a machinist at Alcoa. And I'm sure somebody that worked along the lines and became in a position of authority and they took that to their head, so to speak. And the same thing happens whether, you know, it's in industry. Or if it's in politics, if somebody went out and won $250 million in the lottery, would it change you? It'd be $250 million richer. I think about it. Some people get it, all of a sudden I'm rich. I'm something. I'm somebody. And I was thinking how some people react to that. Now, this might sound stupid to you about me. I was doing something. I was working on something in my fly tying room the other day, and I turned on the TV not paying attention, and what was on when I finally realized I was made in Manhattan. How many know what that story is? Made in Manhattan. Okay, you can raise your hand. Angelique, no, what's her name? Who's the? Who is it? Who's the girl in there? Well, anyway. Jennifer Lopez was made in Manhattan, okay? And yet, she meets somebody and she's disguised as looks at somebody else because she was trying on somebody else's clothes in the room. And the politician comes along and asks her out. And in that point, she said, would you even bother talking to me if I was the maid? Because you didn't see me when I was cleaning the bathroom floor. You know, God sees all of us, no matter what position we're in. God understands that. He did not come just to save, to show up to the politicians. He did not come to show up to the royalty. He did not come to show up to the high priest. He came for every man. He would die for every man. He dies for us. He dies for those that are the richest in the country and those that are the poorest in the country, in the world. He died for everyone. So he came and showed the shepherds of the day. How many know any shepherds? You know, one time we had a missionary who was here, and I forget her name, but she came home from France, and she told us, you remember, maybe some remember it, her husband she'd married was a shepherd. Now, I'll be honest with you, I walked out of here and said, that doesn't seem like to get a husband. You know, I'm not sure if I want my daughter to go out and find a shepherd. And, you know, and it was, you know, they became, worked in the gospel and did a great job. Maybe that's exactly what she needed. I remember crossing from Sheridan, Wyoming, over into Cody, Wyoming one time, and I came across and saw a pickup truck with a trailer on the back. And all these sheep out there. And I'm like, boy, what, way up here in the middle of nowhere. Route 14A, it's the alternate route. And I said to somebody, I said, that's a shepherd. He lives up there all summer with his sheep. He protects those sheep. So there are still jobs for a shepherd if you're thinking about an occupation change. You have to go out west, but, you know, there are shepherd jobs out there. And if some of you young ladies are looking for a shepherd, they're out west. Anyway, you know, but a job. I thought, about what a lonely job. What a job that I didn't really know anybody did. And the fact here in these days, a shepherd was by themselves. The shepherd probably was in charge of that flock of sheep. Christ came to tell us he was a shepherd would die for every man, not just the important ones. The other thing we don't talk about, man, is the town. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, it says, excuse me here. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was his pledge to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, Bethlehem wouldn't be a place chosen for the Son of God to be born by us. Now, we forget the town was one time a great city. I compare it to many times some of the great cities we had around here that kind of went downhill. You know, one time there was a great town in Tidehatton. You ever see pictures of Morris? Is a nice town right now, but you ever see pictures of Morris back in the 1800s? How big it was? Tidehatton had its own school. By the way, if you go down there and look on the little, there's a little plaque down there talking about the school. You know you're getting kind of old because all of us are in this boat. There's a picture of Gladys Callahan when she taught at Tidehatton. Now, many of us know Gladys Callahan when she went to church here. So when all of a sudden somebody you know is on a historic plaque, you know you're getting a little up there. But so it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago. And you know, these places went down. And this was kind of, Bethlehem was on that down. It wasn't as small as Tidehatton, but it was a smaller town. It was built going down, so to speak. It wasn't as large as Detroit was 30 years ago. Detroit was a booming metropolis 40 years ago. Now it's in squalor. I kind of compare that on a smaller scale, maybe. But in this time, when we look at Bethlehem, the town was a great city. But however, the town was bustling with crowd because of this census. You had to go back to your hometown. If I had to go back to my hometown, I'd have to go to where I was born to register. I'd have to go to Philadelphia. Although I only lived there 6 months of my life. And so I'd have to go there if that was the decree of the time, or of now. So people were there. And no wonder there was no room for them in the inn that night. Here's a town that goes down and shows up. You had to go back to, let's say, Morris in its heyday, and everybody had to report back to Morris and stay overnight because you walked. And where are you going to stay in Morris? Things are filled up. So when we look at that, you know, there was no room for them that night, but I want you to think about this. How would you respond if Joseph and Mary had seen a very pregnant woman? Now, how many of you have ever thought about that? Somebody comes to your door, what you've done. Here's this woman about to have a baby. Did you wonder about the innkeeper by the time? Why didn't you just bring in and say, hey, you can use one of our rooms? I would want to think that I would say, hey, well, you know, hey, move out. We'll find a spot for you. I don't know if it's like it used to be in hunting season around here. Everybody had hunters in their house all over the place. Everybody had census people that were trying to make a buck here and there. And they just couldn't find a place to stay. We just don't have anything. But I think I ought to make myself a room. On the other hand, we also get upset many times because what did, you know, would he have offered him a room? He did offer him a room. I think about, we think about the stable. How much worse was a stable than many times the way that people lived in those days? Sometimes a stable was part of their house. It was attached on it, and sometimes it was under their house. I remember going through the Indian reservation up in Browning, Montana. And I remember the housing project. And Indian reservations sometimes, you know, have their problems. But I remember the brand new houses they built up for them, but they were still wanted to be Native Americans. And the custom they had was, I said, look at the brand new house that's sitting here, but under there, all the doors were, the garage doors weren't even on, and all the cows and chickens lived under the house. Now, that seems kind of silly to us at times, because we know what that would be like. For those that have livestock, you probably don't want them under your house. But the fact is, in this day, I don't know if it was really that, this guy was really being that bad. We'll go out and stay in the barn. He said, this is all I got. This isn't a bad place. And Joseph and Mary willingly said, we'll take that. We can make something out of it. We have fresh straw. We have fresh straw out there. I hope it's straw, not hay, but straw. We can make something out of it. You know, we offer them a room. They could sleep on the floor. We'd put them probably, you know, I would like to think we came to our house and said, man, come in, take the bed. We'll move, we'll sleep on the floor. But we don't know how filled everything was. But the fact is, no one in Bethlehem offered that except this man said, you can stay in the stable. And I really don't know if that was a bad thing. I think in that case, he was given the best he could get. The second one to remember is the angels. In Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those whom he finds, whose his favor rests. We look at this, and we look at this picture here, we can see the angel. The angels there, like we always think, up in heaven, we can picture a whole mass, a heavenly multitude of angels singing and praising God. And we think of a little, you can see a little sheep down here a little bit. But the fact is, those angels were there. They had a great announcement to make. We'll have some little angels up here tonight, right? They're little angels, well, they're real angels, but they're little angels anyway. At least they're angels tonight, they'll be, right? I'm not sure if they're angels all the time. But the fact is, we look at the angels. We think of them with the little wings and the little white robes. I really don't know what an angel looks like. You know, angels are kind of something in the Bible we talk about. They have a lot of jobs. You know, this taste here was the announcement of the shepherds, the only thing the angels did this Christmas. Was the announcement of the shepherd the only thing they did this Christmas? How many have been to Sights and Sounds? The miracle of Christmas. You know, we really forget that Jesus was a wanted man by Satan. Satan knew exactly what was going to happen. Satan wanted two things to happen. One, he would prefer that Jesus would die. If Jesus would have died at birth, it had been, sad to say, an answer to Satan's prayer. Satan would have done anything to get rid of Jesus at his birth. And if you go to Sights and Sounds, and of course there's a little artistic we call it privilege. Well, they have the devil kind of hovering over. And, of course, the angel comes and fights him off. If you watch the Passion of Christ, the movie by Mel Gibson, you always see the Satan walking in the background watching this going. You know, it's kind of a spooky-looking character. Looking down, waiting for this death of the Savior. He really wanted the Savior to die. But really think about this. I don't think that's the only thing. He tried everything he could do in Mary's 9 months. I believe he tried all he could do to get rid of this baby. I believe these angels were glad that the baby was born, because I bet they're protecting that Mary, protecting the baby, its whole 9 months of pregnancy. But it continued after that. Because if Satan could tempt him, think about tempt him and then have him crucified, do you believe he waited for him to grow up to manhood before he attacked? Maybe wait 33 years to go after? He was charging people all the time to go after this person, to go after this Jesus. In fact, in Psalms 91:11 is really Jesus' temptation. He quotes Luke 4:10, quotes Jesus, and he's really quoting Psalms 91:11. And the angels will guard you carefully. Satan says the angels will guard you carefully. And I personally, and Pastor believes, and I agree with the pastor, I believe the angels were very active the entire 9 months of Mary's pregnancy. I've read a lot on angels. I've been looking at angels. I don't know, a guardian angel. I don't know if everybody has a guardian angel or not. Kind of lean towards it does. I think of the things I've done in my life and that stuff people have done, and think the time, wow, what could have happened there? The problem is, you think about someone that dies young or somebody that dies before we say our time. That doesn't happen. In Hebrews, it said God set a point on the man wants to die. God knows the exact date you're going to die. He knows if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Because if I'm here tomorrow, you won't be here, but I'm out of my house. He knows I'm going to be walking around. And I believe until that time, especially the Christians, there's someone that guards us and keeps watch over us and keeps comforts us. And I really don't know how to react. I never saw an angel. I never had that experience that some people talk about. And I know everybody has all different types of theories on this and that. And you know, you look at the worldly theory, you look at the deeply religious, but the fact that angels are out there, I relate the story that God had a guardian angel watching over him. Jesus did, because he had a mission, and the mission of Satan was to destroy that mission any way possible. I think Satan praised God when he was crucified on the cross. Praised his God, but he was totally dashed when Christ rose from the dead. It totally defeated him at that point. Now, there's another group we don't look at, the relatives. Now, we talk about the relatives. I don't know, everybody has relatives. The relatives. I think Pastor was looking for an R for stars. But the relatives. In the time, I'm going to look at one here. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. Excuse me. Who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time when he was burning the incense came, all the assembly worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now, that's not going to have an understatement, I would think. My wife, when she comes down to clean the church, when I come in, I come down and keep the door locked. You know, it's a night or something like that. Any place, you keep the door locked. If you're in here cleaning and you turn around and there was an angel of the Lord standing there, and what would you think? Startled. I think that's kind of an understatement. He said, the angel said to him, and the angels always appear and said, don't be afraid. I think that's it. Here I go. Okay, don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? It was a mistake. I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now I wonder about this at time because when he appeared to Abraham, when he appeared, and you think, well, what doubt? If they appeared to me and said the same thing, I would say the same thing back, right? Of course, I've read the scriptures, so I would think before I thought now, you know, they didn't have this Bible. Because he said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which have come true in their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he's staying so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept signs, making signs to them but he remained unable to speak. When the time of service was complete, he returned home. The relatives. When you think of Jesus' family, who do you think of? Who do you think of Jesus' family? How many think of Mary? Only two people? Three? Okay. Maybe we all think of Mary, right? How about Joseph? Joseph. Okay. But do you think that was it? Here's his aunt and uncle. Here's his cousin. And we look at, like anything else, when you think about your family, I have, you know, obviously two sides of my family. I think about my dad's side of the family. It was a large family. My mom's side was she was an only child. My dad's side was all coal miners. My mom's side they were construction. My grandfather was a painter, but he was also a conductor of an orchestra. He played several musical instruments. My mother was a pianist, just like my wife. The other guys couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, just like me. Everybody's thinking right now, but you know, there they were. They would talk about the days in the coal mines. They would talk about the fights in the coal mine. My grandfather would talk about his day at the orchestra. I would be drugged to concert symphonies all the time. I didn't kick and scream because he didn't do that. Because remember, my dad's side of the family didn't put up with kicking and screaming. But anyway, I would go to these concerts. And I would also go to the games. They all of them played football, most of them. That went to high school. Most of them never made it to high school. But they talk about their friends in the mines. It was like two different worlds to live in. But they had one thing in common. At one time, they all accepted Christ as their Savior. From two different opposite roads. We got in a little tussle one time when I was in high school. And my grandfather happened to be there. And he left and took my brothers home. And the police took me home. But anyway, that was just another thing with my dad and brought me out. It wasn't nothing big, just to help me out. And I remember my grandfather saying, that's Manny's. You got too much of that in you. And my dad was like mad at me all the way home. They start laughing. And we kind of respected the fact what happened. And it was nothing major at the time. But the fact was I had two different worlds. Probably, though, I guess my grandfather would have been happy if I had a violin and hit him on the head with a violin. But I didn't have a violin. But anyway, you know, the fact is, there were two different worlds. There were relatives. I had relatives I was proud of. I had relatives that I thought were as goofy as all get out, but they probably thought I was, too. There are relatives you're proud about. There's relatives you're embarrassed about. There's relatives, but let's look here. Here's one of his relatives. Here's his cousin. John shows up, and he's a sharp dresser. You know, there's a picture of what he probably looked like. He was in cloth, and he ate locusts. He lived out in the desert. I mean, that's not, you know, you probably didn't brag about my cousin John. There's probably people in the village said, you know, it's great he baptized a lot of people because at least he gets in the water once in a while. You know, and you know, we all have relatives like that. he had, in ways, there was times that even Jesus' parents questioned who he was. And I'm sure there are not only parents, but relatives, cousins, and aunts, and uncles question everything. Be honest with yourself. Mary comes home and says, I'm pregnant. It was a virgin birth. And how many people are going to say, hey, yeah, it's great. You know, people question it. I think down the road, question later on, let's face it, in that town of Bethlehem, maybe that's why they had a hard time getting a room. They knew the story. It's a little town. We know, hey, here comes Joseph with his wife. She's pregnant, not even married yet. And she says she's a virgin. I don't know. That's only my idea. I wasn't the pastor's idea. That was my thought. But think about the talk behind her back. In fact, when it came right down to it, they said of Jesus, who is this guy? He's the illegitimate son of Joseph the carpenter. This was 30-some years later, right? The high priest and that knew about it. There are people in the community who knew about it. Things like that just don't die out. In fact, his relatives at times probably mocked him that we don't hear about. How do you think Jesus treated them? I have a picture, like if I was holding some children here. Because I thought if children come to the Lord, we would come to the Lord just like children, innocent. How do you think, no matter what his relatives were like, no matter what the people around. I was reading the other day, I looked in the line, and for some reason I looked up something about Christmas, and I came to Jerry Falwell. And I brought Jerry Falwell, and his obituary was in. Jerry Falwell's obituary was in there. And at one time, he was a very popular TV preacher. And I pulled up the obituaries of Jerry Falwell, and then to do on the internet, you have comments on them. How many ever see the comments, right? I would say one out of every 20 was a good comment about Jerry Falwell. The language, the hate, he's where he's supposed to be now. He's going to rot in hell. He was a hateful man. He was against women. He was against homosexuals. He was against this. He preached against the hate he spewed. I mean, it was like, well, I was looking at that, the internet's fine, but sometimes you feel like going back to my high school day and ripping a cord out of the wall and beating somebody with it, you know? You just get upset with it. The fact is, I thought, listen to this guy. What did Jerry Falwell preach? Nothing but God's word. And I thought about that, and I said, you know what? I've never heard him say anything, particular. I was actually looking up something about Santa Claus. Because one time I heard him, talk about Santa Claus. He said, I don't care if people want to have a little fat, jolly guy running around their house or say to the kids. That's nothing, he's bringing joy to a lot of kids. He said, we do have a lot of different stories we tell at times. And I was looking at that, but all they talked about was the things about how terrible it was. And then one guy summed it all up. He said, it doesn't make a difference. He's where everybody goes. Nothing. He's just dust. And my thought came to that and thought to myself, here's a person that believes, no wonder there's no hope for him or her. I don't know if it's a person. They don't sign their names. Internet's great. I love letters to the editor when you have to sign your name and give your address or something like that. It cuts down on the people that write letters about you. But the internet, you got all these people with all these phony names, throw anything out, they can say anything, you don't know how old they are, how young they are. It's just gossip. So you better stay away from it many times. I think many times, of course, Facebook can tell who you are. But the facts are that the internet, if you think about these people that are spewing all this stuff out, had no idea. And the same response that Jesus would have to those around him, he would respond with love. And I was doing a lesson at the time, and I've been in the middle of this lesson for all week, and I was looking at this, and I was thinking, that's the way we respond. I respond to the same people. I get upset about them, people talking about. Because why do we expect them not to talk great about Jerry Falwell? Why do we expect them to say bad things about us? Because we're good people. Why would we not expect them? They said it about Jesus. And Jesus said, they said it about me, they're going to say it about you. That doesn't mean we can't love them. Jerry Falwell's celebrating Christmas with Christ. And he loves those people that were talking about them. If there were tears in heaven, he'd probably cry thinking, if only they knew. But his relatives responded with love. And the last one is the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We forget in this time of year, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. We would not celebrate Christmas. We might have a winter holiday sometime, but it wouldn't be called Christmas if Jesus wouldn't have came and been born. August 3rd, if they come to my house, or I'm not usually here, I'm usually someplace. Last year I was in Wyoming, Montana, something like that, or Wyoming, I don't know. We went out and had a birthday dinner for me. I don't know what all the other people in the restaurant were celebrating, but the people at the table were celebrating birthday. I guess we did it in Chicago, I'm not sure. We went to my son's birthday. We celebrate that. We come to Europe, but Bill has a birthday. Teresa has a birthday, and we're going to celebrate we're celebrating that birthday. That's what this is all about. Christmas is celebrating God's birthday. If you want to have a happy holiday, you want to have this here and there, Christmas is what we're doing. Because of this Savior. He's a Savior been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This little baby grew up. And put it all in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when that sums this whole thing up, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship you at this time, to celebrate your birthday. We thank you for each one here. We ask the Lord to be able to come back tonight, that we come back and celebrate your birthday tonight with the program with the kids. We ask, Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to your name, that everybody have safety coming here, that maybe there'd be someone to come here that there's no you as your Savior. Tonight would be the night to turn their life over to you. Lord, we just ask to be with us as we leave. We ask to be with our pastors' families as they travel, and just be with them and the grief they're going through, and the other ones that have lost loved ones. We pray to remember to keep in our mind all the things that happen. What a Savior we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.